I've got to share a little bit with you all about the wedding yesterday. I know if that wedding would have been a little bit closer than 5 hours away, a number of you would have been there for Brandon and Sarah and them. And some still traveled. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting in the hotel just doing some work, waiting for the afternoon to pass before the wedding. And Lee and Jan Johnson come in, you know. And the next thing I know, I see Trudy come in. And I'm like, whoa, El Campo's just showing up here. And it was a beautiful, beautiful occasion. Two things really stood out in the service for me in particular. One was it was hot. That there was not a dry stitch on my body when we got through with the wedding part, and it was indoors. But it was a beautiful, beautiful venue. I'm sitting there sweating, Brandon sweating, Courtney sweating, everybody in the wedding party sweating. I'm going, boy, I better keep this service to a minimum today. But what was more beautiful? Well, that was just something that stood out to me. But the thing that was really, really beautiful about the service was when Courtney stepped out from behind the doors and Brandon was standing right here. I was so moved. I'll tell you. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional in my old age, okay, folks? Come on now. Give me a break. Anyway, it was just, you know, you just know when it's pure love. I mean, you know when it's pure love. And when he saw her, he turned his head and he bawled like a baby. It was so cool for a guy that's 6'4" and can cry like that. I like that. Makes me feel better. But he was so moved by when he saw Courtney. And boy, you could just see it. You just, you know, and I thought, there's a lot of people that made that day possible. And a lot of you are in this room. And I want to say, well done. It takes all of us working together to raise our children. Amen? I'm telling you. And Brandon, he did. He had some hardships and struggles that nobody would want to face or go through in life. And he made good on those opportunities, folks. And it was glorious to see the man that he has become and the woman that Courtney is and to see their lives come together. You know, last week I was talking about how important it is. You know, what God wants to see from us is that birth that occurs in our lives and then that spiritual growth and maturity. And when we get to the mature point, then we become productive in our lives. And I just see that in that young couple already. And I want to thank God and honor him because of them and how he's worked beautifully in their lives. But also you, because you all taught Brandon, you loved Brandon, you served him, you encouraged him, and good job. Good job, church family. It was beautiful indeed. Today, I just want to spend a few minutes. I didn't know if y'all would get that joke or not. Hey, you know what's interesting, Stanley? You are not the only person in here that was bothering. There are some people afflicted with OCD that are members of our church. And you know what you just did? You provided peace for them by doing that. And so thank you. So now, is there anything else that needs to be taken care of before we can move forward? Okay, everybody at peace? We're all at peace here? Okay, good. We can move forward. Boy, some of y'all were just really torqued up about that, weren't you? Anyway, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about life groups today, and I want to use an acrostic. There's the word I'm looking. Folks, I got in at 2:00 this morning. If I pass out, it's not because I've died. It's just the blood has left my head. I should have probably ate some more this morning. But anyway, here we go. An acrostic, S-H-A-R-E. Life groups are a place to share, and I want to encourage you to be a part of a life group. We're getting ready to launch life groups. We're going to go 13 weeks this fall, and then we go 13 weeks in the spring, and then we have a break for the summer. And this is truly one of these opportunities in which you can connect with people in our congregation, deepen some friendships, you can serve together, you can encourage one another, you can grow together, and that's what we're about here. We want to experience anew what the first century church experienced there in the earliest days in Jerusalem. Life groups have a purpose, and And what we try to do, some of you have never been a part of a life group in our congregation. And I want to explain what they are so that I can reduce the anxiety and we can get things in order so that you have peace and calm about this. Because here's the deal. Life groups are a higher risk proposition than attending a Sunday morning worship service. Because you're not staring at the back of someone's head. You're looking at their face. Which provides an opportunity. Some of us can see the reflection of ourselves in the heads of others. We won't mention any names like Mr. Clean over here. Ken, all you need is the earring. All you need is the earring. You've got the muscles. Do y'all remember Mr. Clean? And I think when I see Ken, I think of Mr. Clean and Telly Savalas. What was that Coke commercial he had? Now, that was a long time ago. Did I say that right? Was that Telly Savalas? Okay, there you go. Oh, yeah, and he looked good. So, hey, Ken, you got it going on there. Life groups are a higher risk proposition because it's a little more personal. And for some, that can be a bit threatening. I promise you, if you go to a life group, we're not going to turn the lights off and turn a lamp and put it right on you and say, okay, tell us about your life, Jesse. Well, I was born in Idaho or Utah, wherever I'm from, and I used to raise mink for people to have fur in their coats. But anyway, if y'all see, I know Jesse because I've been around him. And being around him is a high-risk proposition. But life groups allow for personal connection in very meaningful ways. It's a little more high-risk, but as you know, in life, my friends, with higher risk comes the opportunity for greater, help me, church family, greater reward. And that's what we believe. We believe that God is blessing our congregation and we are growing. But what has to happen in a growing congregation is that we have to have, as you grow, you have to divide to grow even more. Okay? There has to be a span of care. Even Israel was, you had the nation of Israel. And then you had the 12 tribes, that's subunits of the nation. And among the 12 tribes, you had clans, family clans. And of the family clans, you had the family. And of the family, you had the family leader. And that's how you manage any kind of institution. And we see this also in the church in the New Testament, where there's division of labor so that people's needs can be met and the gospel can spread and everybody can use their personal God-giftedness to bring blessing and service to the lives of others. Groups, here's what we do as groups. We meet to discuss the Sunday morning message and apply it to our lives and build meaningful relationships with one another. The question that we want to ask every time we get together is, what difference does this lesson make in my life? And we call that application. And the other question we want to ask ourselves in our life groups is, what difference will I make in the lives of other people? In light of what I've learned and what I've come to know or what has been rehearsed before me, what difference does it make in my life? So we're talking about application, but we're also talking about, church family, we're also talking about action. So we are, Churches of Christ, come from the Restoration Movement. I don't know if you know much about the Restoration Movement, but the Restoration Movement is a tradition that does away with tradition. Did I say that well? It is a church tradition that does away with tradition. Over the course of two millennia, ecclesiastical church authorities have added creeds and traditions to church in addition to scripture, and they have all kinds of formal hierarchies and structures. And the Restoration Movement came along and to say, look, this is weighing the church down. The church needs to be agile and nimble, and they have the ability to adjust and to have simple church. Simple church. Not complex church structures, but simple church, so that we can take the gospel message to the people without any traditions that are weighing us down. But the tradition of our tradition has become traditionalized, And some of our traditions are very similar to what I would call leaving a ship parked in a harbor. If a ship is not moving and it's parked in a harbor in salt water, what eventually happens to the hull of that ship? Barnacles, there's these little creatures or, I don't know, living organisms. I'm not a, what would you call it? An ocean biologist? What do you call those people? Thank you. A marine biologist. It's a group effort here today, church family. Stay with me. You know, I don't know what you call them, but these living organisms will attach to the boat. And if you leave it sitting still long enough, when you do decide to move, how easy is it to move? How efficient is it to move? Until someone has to get down and start, you know, beating the barnacles and knocking them off the bottom of the hull. And if you knock those barnacles, you want the hull to remain. You want the ship to stay intact. But sometimes we have traditions and we don't even realize that then become like barnacles on the bottom of a boat, and we start to get mobile with it, and it's very inefficient. Takes a lot of force, takes a lot of energy, and not much motion. But if you clean that up and you make it efficient and you mainstream that thing, it's amazing what you can do. And the church always needs to be committed to mainstreaming the efficient spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we know what our purpose is. We know that we are to make disciples, that we are taking the gospel of salvation to other people. But the forms in which we do that can adjust and they can change. But I'm saying the best forms of how to do church are right here in Scripture. And what we want to do is duplicate the simplicity of the earliest church that we read about in Scripture. Not just the structure, but also the heart with which that church acted. In Acts chapter 2, the 3,000 were added to the church, and there's this description. Listen to these words that were used. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Very simple. And they're devoted. You know what the word devoted means? It means obstinate loyalty. How about that? I mean, it's absolute, you're committed to these things. They were filled with awe. They were together. They had everything in common. They continued to meet. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of the people. Doesn't that sound just like what Jesus was all about when he was growing, right, in Luke 2:52? He grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. And what does the early church do? They praised God and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Hey, folks, that's simple. That's simple church. And we want to duplicate and replicate this in the life of this congregation. They were not loosely associated, a disconnected, though sometime gathering worship society or club. That's not what they were about. They were about sharing things, including their lives. The scriptures even say no one looked at their stuff as though it was just their stuff. Well, or something like that. That's John's loose translation. In other words, I understand that my life, my very physical life is a gift from Almighty God, and everything that's a part of my life is a gift from Almighty God. You know, I have to have my hand open to receive that mighty gift, if I can use this symbol right here of an open hand. I can receive it from God, but I also have an open hand to my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And there was no needs among the brethren in those days. And so there's this fellowship, there's this sharing of things in common with one another. Philippians 2:1 says this, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. See, that's what, if we have fellowship with Christ, we are united with him, and we want to be like him in everything that we do as a congregation, being like-minded with Christ, having the same love that he had for us that we have with one another, being one in spirit and in purpose, okay? That's mainstream, is it not? That is efficiency. That's bringing everybody and everything online for the purpose of movement of the God's purposes in our lives. And life groups are a part of that. They are a place to share. Let me share with you what the word SHARE means. Here we go. Here's our acrostic. Life groups is a place where we, let me back up for 1 second. Hang on. I know I got to bed about 2:15 this morning, so sorry for the randomness. Okay. When we get together, we discuss and we apply the Sunday morning message, not critique it. That's very important. And especially not critique the preacher. Okay? Broken message, broken messenger. I get that. All right? And I'm fine with that. If you want to critique, I welcome it. Come see me. Come talk to me, okay? All right. That's half jest, half not jest. Seriously, I mean, I get how flawed I am. You would not believe, if you had a monitor on my heart, you would realize how much I take. Anyway, you would know. Some of y'all think this comes so natural to me. No. And others would go, no, it doesn't come natural to you. You might try something else. All right. I get that. So it's about applying. Some lessons are going to be get it on base first, second, maybe a triple. If we get home runs every now and then, I praise God for those. I give him glory. All right. So we're gonna apply, discuss, and apply the Sunday morning message. And as we do this, there are five things that we can experience in our group. The first one, a part of share, is serve. When God's people get together circled up in a living room, they immediately begin to serve one another. You know, and you know why we can serve one another with ease is because when we circle up in a living room, we become aware of one another. There's a knowing that occurs. And when you know it, folks, what do we know about one another? We all have needs, right? It may not be food or clothing. Most of us have our basic needs met, but we all need encouragement. We all need a friend. We all need to be encouraged from the scriptures. And so we begin to serve one another. I'll never forget in the second life group that Mindy and I ever hosted in our house, there was a lady here. She used to sit right back there where Suzanne is sitting, and it was Virginia Zuber. She passed away, what? 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And Virginia had come to our congregation. We had a grief recovery seminar. And she had recently lost her husband to death. And he had a long battle. I believe it was with Parkinson's. And it's very devastating to Virginia, as it is to everyone that loses someone so close to them. And she was determined, I found out from Virginia, she was determined that she was going to be there for her husband when he died. But her husband was more about taking care of her needs than his needs, even on his dying bed. And she slept beside him. She ate beside him. She had that little hospital bed in her living room. She was bound and determined that she was going to be there with him. And she stepped out to go to the kitchen. And while she was gone, he passed away. I kind of think he did that on purpose, because he loved her. And I remember her coming to the grief workshop and getting to know Virginia, and then she getting to know members of our church and just being loved right into our church family. And she came to our life group, and did I tell you she's from Mississippi? There's some interesting things that come out of Mississippi, Brandon. Among them, great stories. And Virginia had great stories. She was a part of our life group. She told us all these great, it was almost like Jerry Clower in female form. It was just that good. And our life group was so enriched from her. And I remember there was one Sunday when Virginia was still driving. We did manage to get her out of a vehicle eventually. And that was a good thing. But when she was still driving, she came up to our house for a life group one Sunday. And she went outside afterwards, and she was going to drive home. And the car wouldn't start, you know. And it just so happened we had a mechanic there in our life group. And he's like, well, I can take care of this. I think you got a dead battery. Let me check. And he had a battery checker, so he goes to his car and he checks the battery. And sure enough, it was a dead battery. Why don't I go get you one? She goes, let me give you some money. He goes, no, I'm going to go get it. So then, you know, Trey Victoring drives down to O'Reilly's Auto Parts, picks up a battery, goes back, puts it in, and Miss Virginia is taken care of. And you know what's so good about that? It's just simple care for another. Had we not been a part of a life group, she would have had to call a mechanic. They would have had to come and take care of it. It would have cost her a lot more money. But what would have been missed was the love that was expressed in that moment. And folks, that's what enriches community. That's what enriches our lives when we share with one another. And so life groups are a place to serve. They're also a place to heal. There's no shortage of brokenness in our lives. For those of you that think you're perfect, you just haven't recognized that yet. A lot of folks are on what I call the crazy cycle. It's described in the book of Titus. Let me share this one passage with you. I feel like I'm on the random cycle today. But this is from Titus. It says, chapter 3, it says, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers, authorities, to be obedient, ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. At one time, you too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice." That's when we really enjoy someone else hurting. "We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." That's what I call the crazy cycle. It's done to me, so I do it to you. That's the crazy cycle. And Paul says, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And then he goes on and he says, "I want to stress these things so that those of you who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good." One of the things that occurs in life groups is changing the crazy cycle to the love cycle. Right? We go from, "Let me do it to you before you do it to me," immaturity, to learning how to love others as Christ has loved us. And it's life-changing. And a life group is a place where that can just be applied every single week of our lives. And so, I thought about as I think about you, you're a living thing. And every living thing requires nurture and care to remain strong and so that it can grow. Yesterday in the wedding, Brandon and Courtney, they did not do a unity candle. They did a unity tree. Has anyone ever seen a unity tree before? It was my first. We had a little maple sapling. It was right back here behind. And they're on a stand. And they had two canisters of dirt. And then they had a couple of jars of water. And they went and they poured dirt in the sapling, representing the life of nurture that had been poured into them. And then they're pouring it into one another. And then they took the water, and the water was symbolic of the love. Are y'all getting this? It was cute, okay? It was cute. Maple tree. And so they're going to go and take that maple tree, and they're going to plant it just as, if they continue to take care of that maple tree, it will grow and become strong. It'll be a place where birds rest. In the fall, it's one of the most beautiful trees as it changes color. It bears the fruit of the leaves. It bears beauty. It bears strength. If it's tended to and taken care of. What life groups is the tending to and the taking care of one another. And there's a lot that needs to be healed in our lives. In friendship with God and one another, there is no greater medicine. Amen? The third thing that we do is apply God's word. And I think I've already spoke to that. Allow formation to occur. And then it's also a place to relate. We need people. Pews are crowded sometimes in church, but hearts can be lonely. You ever been in a crowd and felt alone? People do every Sunday when they gather here and they gather in other places. There's nothing like being known and knowing others. When you get in a small group in a living room with Bibles open and hearts open, a lot of great things happen. And what new members feel and experience is not only a friendly church, but friends. And so life groups are a place to relate. And then also, and lastly, life groups are a place to evangelize. Y'all, we can't ever forget this is our purpose. You know, I think there's a subtle danger that we can find ourselves getting into, and that is this, that we become self-centered with what we want from our church. Like, we want to be comfortable. We want the songs that touch us. We want the place. We want the pew that makes us the most comfortable. We want to be around the people that, you know, and on and on and on we can go, and we create this comfort zone. And I promise you, there's nowhere in the Bible that God has called us to peace, but he hasn't called us to comfort. And the early church, they were in their holy huddle in Jerusalem. And so what does God do to break it up so that the message can get past Jerusalem? A little persecution can help. A little hardship, a little struggle can help this out. And they go out from Jerusalem and they get on to Samaria and into Judea. And they get it on to the ends of the earth. Okay? And so it's not our number one focus, church family, for us to be comfortable, but for us to be committed to the purposes of God. I love what Paul says. I become all things to all men so that I might win as many as possible. So again, it's about loving God and loving one another. And in the midst of that, I'm going to find joy. Joy is not going to come because I create my own church utopia. All right? You don't create your own church Eden, but you will experience the joy of the kingdom. You will experience Eden when you align yourselves with the purpose of God. And God, this, we're not a cruise ship. We are a battleship. We're not out just here having fun, having our needs met, enjoying the fruits, although it is all of that, and it's more. And it's more because we have a passion and a purpose to save people and to grow them into maturity of Christ so they can be fruitful in their lives. The scriptures say this, church family, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Let's restore the vision that we read in Acts chapter 2, in which they met in the temple courts, large assemblies, but they also met house to house. And so large assemblies and small groups is God's structure, simple structure, to advance the glorious kingdom of God. Oh, I hope you'll consider joining a group. Hey, if you don't, we're not going to tar and feather you. We're not going to put you on El Campo Church of Christ Most Wanted list. We're not going to post it up out here. We're not going to pressure you. We're not going to club you or beat you up or anything like that. And I know some of you have big responsibilities that you have to take care of. And this time around, it might not be possible. But don't talk yourself out of it. Take a chance. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. We'll do an infomercial. Come and try it out. Can we go 30 days? Right? And if you're not happy, we'll give you a full return. Try it out. It's okay. You can go, John, we tried it. Not now, or not this way. But I do want to encourage you to connect with one another. Be a part of those groups. We have this time here at the end of our service to pray for people, and if there's anything that any of you need, please come forward while we worship and sing.